everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, the podcast that you're listening to about the game that is the greatest game. What is it?
It's not like the greatest generation, because that was people in World War II.
Nope.
It's not like the greatest depression, which is what happened before World War II.
Right. It's not like that.
It's Magic the Gathering.
Yay!
That sounds so much better than the Dust Bowl.
If you play Magic the Gathering and love to giggle.
I do.
Then welcome.
Welcome.
If not, well, you're still welcome.
Welcome.
But things might get weird.
It's gonna get weird.
This is a podcast.
I was gonna say, that's my hand on your leg.
What? Oh.
It's getting weird.
Is that what that was?
Continue.
This is a podcast for anyone who's learning magic. I taught magic to a couple friends of mine, and now they make me do a podcast with them.
Ben is strapped to the chair right now.
Yeah, that is true.
My name's Maria. I'm one of those friends.
My name's Megan. I've kidnapped Ben's closest family members until he does this podcast with us.
Ben, they're safe. They've got all the food they need.
They're fine.
And they've got a season of The Wire.
We just need to finish recording this.
Let my people go.
That joke's for later. Spoiler alert, we're going to play the game hashtag MTG movie later on in this episode. Wizards has recently announced that they have partnered to make a Magic franchise of movies, and we've got some guesses as to what those movies just might be.
Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that.
Also coming up in the show, we all recently went to GP Sacramento.
Woo! That was a party.
Sure
An
was.
Exhausting party.
As any good party should be.
That's true. Mm.
I didn't get a wink of sleep between hits of 5-hour energy.
Ben, you're such a rebel.
For the noobs, it's our segment for new players. This week, we're going to talk about GP side events.
That's right, because when you go to a GP, chances are you're going to do real shitty, and you're going to have to plan some side events. Look.
Wait, or, not chances are, or you'll do great, and you'll day two, and you'll get to play the whole time, but sometimes.
Sometimes.
Or.
What?
Maybe you don't like the format of the main event at the GP.
Oh.
Yeah.
But your friends are going, and you're like, well, I'm not going to have anything to do. Super not true, guys.
Yeah.
There's 100 million different things that is available for you. No matter how much time you have.
Yeah, maybe.
You probably need at least a few hours.
Yeah, that's probably true. Maybe you're like, oh, it's a modern GP, but I don't play modern, but it's in my hometown.
Yeah.
Well, then you should probably still go, because there's lots of awesome stuff happening.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean you guys, I didn't mean for the listeners to feel like they were going to suck real hard at a GP. I didn't mean for that to happen.
You really made it sound like that, Maria.
You were implying some hard sucking.
You really were.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, it might happen. Only a certain number of people make day two, and it could be you or not.
Exactly.
But there's still plenty of fun to be had.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of this GP, I bet the listeners want to know right off the top, how did we do in this GP,
Ben? We did great.
I agree.
Relatively speaking.
Yes.
Yes. Relative to our own personal records.
Yeah.
We did great.
Yeah.
Ben, how'd you do?
Well... I started out 6-2.
Nice.
Which means there were 9 rounds, and anyone that had a 7-2 record or better advanced to day 2.
Hold on. This was a sealed. This is a limited GP, yeah, FYI.
This was in a Theros sealed pool. So I managed to make it all the way until the last round, and unfortunately, I lost in that last round.
Oh, heartbreaker.
But yeah. The way those cards came up, it just, you know, wasn't in the cards. So what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You have to, when life serves you lemons, you just eat them raw, just like life gave them to you.
That's real true.
Do you think that's where the saying that it wasn't in the cards comes from? From it literally not being in the cards?
What?
I was trying to make a joke because obviously that's where it comes from. I'm sorry. Anyway, Ben, Megan and I couldn't be prouder peacocks.
Yeah.
Of your almost day two.
Yes. Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we are very proud peacocks.
My tails are in full plume.
Nice.
Megan, how'd you do?
I went 4-3. which I was super happy with.
You were not losing for a long time.
Exactly. Right off the top, I 2-0'd. I got to play in a table that was only double digits, you guys.
Nice.
Wow.
I know.
You had a better record for me for a while.
Yeah. And then I tanked. Then I tanked real hard, man.
What do you think happened?
I think that while my deck did have some strengths, my pool had almost no removal. And so eventually I just hit decks and players that were just like strictly better than I was.
Sure.
And it was actually a lot of fun to play people in like the 2-0 and the 3-1 bracket because some of them were very good. And it was like, oh, well,
yeah.
I just met someone who is like substantially better and I lost.
Could you feel like the bitterness coming off of them as they played? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I smelled like it.
It was condensing on your skin.
I mean, like they're playing real fast.
It kind of smelled like sweet cookies.
Maria.
What?
This was your first GP.
Yes.
You came out of your little baby pod.
Uh-huh.
You emerged into the world.
Yes.
Dripping with mucus.
Yes. Oh, so much music. Look, it's nature.
Gross.
How did you do?
Well, I think that my deck was real bad.
uh-huh.
Real bad. So I didn't win a game until the third round.
Oh.
So I didn't immediately 0-3 drop, which was my goal. I did not want to do that.
Congratulations.
So that goal is accomplished.
Yeah.
But then I did lose again after that. So it was pretty bad, pretty poor showing. So I immediately went and played in a rebound GP.
Oh.
Speaking of side events, and then I went 4-1 out in a 5-round event there, so I felt a lot better about myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you actually realize there would be side events?
I knew there would, but I didn't know that they would be...
You did not understand the scope.
No, the caliber.
Or the plethora.
The myriad.
The variety.
That
How many of them there were.
The many-faceted eye of the side event.
The dodecahedron of selection.
Correct. I did not know that. But there are so very many. I mean, what's the most popular side event, do you think?
The most popular side event was definitely either the GP Trials the day before or the Super Sunday series the day after.
All right. So tell me what those things are in case listeners are going to a GP in the near future. What's the Friday before event?
Well, there's a variety of events, and we'll go over kind of some of the different events, but the big one is the last trance. It's the last opportunity you have to dance with glow sticks before the main event starts, because once the event starts, DCI does not allow you
to trance dance at all.
No, or to have any sort of, you know, rave paraphernalia. In the main tournament area.
I saw someone get DQ'd for rave paraphernalia.
Yeah.
I saw a girl with one of those glowing things in her mouth.
What?
What?
At a rave. You can have a glow stick
okay.
that goes in your mouth. It's like a retainer. So I understand.
What? You know what, Maria? I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay, sure.
So the last chance Grand Prix trials, to understand that, you must understand what is a Grand Prix trial. Mm-hmm. A Grand Prix trial is a tournament you can enter, and the winner gets the coveted prize of 3 buys.
Nice.
In the Grand Prix, in a specific Grand Prix. And so what that means is basically your first 3 rounds, if you have buys, count as wins.
So you start off going 3-0 in that sucker.
Nice. Right. Question, if you use them at this tournament, you don't get them at another, right?
The trial is always for a specific Grand Prix.
Okay.
There are, you can also get buys based on Planeswalker points. Mm-hmm. So there are also people.
Those things matter?
Yeah, they do.
If you get enough, you can earn buys. It's pretty easy to get one buy, or it's not too hard. Like, I've been close to having one buy before.
Yeah.
2 or 3 buys is a little more difficult.
Okay.
Yeah. So it makes quite a difference. Like, a couple of the people that I played were people who had 2 buys going in.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like...
Yeah.
I envied the fact that they had not played three or four rounds prior to the game.
It is so valuable.
It's crazy. Well, it's crazy because one, you can like go and get lunch.
You can sleep in.
Before the event even starts, really. You can get a sleeping special if you have three buys. You can also, you know, in order to make day two, you don't have to have a record of 7-2 because you have three free wins. So you only need a record of 4-2.
That's not so bad.
That's right, dude.
No.
That's not nearly so bad.
Great. So the format for those is usually the same as the Grand Prix, and then the it's a 32-player tournament, single elimination, and only the top prize. Only the top player out of that 32-man bracket will get the buys. And they just do, I think, as many of them as people sign up for on the day before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice. And the other big event that I think is most popular is the, would you say that's the Super Sunday series?
Yep.
For sure.
What in the world does that series of words mean?
Ben explained it really well earlier this weekend when he said it's kind of like...
I was really proud of this. Yeah,
you really plowed.
I was super plowed.
It's kind of like the biggest event for people who don't day two.
Right.
And there's the Super Sunday Sealed, which is usually starts at 9 a.m.
And they'll
day
do a,
two.
Will they do a sealed even at, say, a modern GP?
Yep. The Super Sunday series always has one that's a sealed and one that's a standard.
Sweet.
And the number of rounds is based on the number of people. It's usually over 100 people that sign up. It's between like 120 and 160. And so it's 7 or 8 rounds, which is a lot of Magic again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice because it's like if you came to play Magic all weekend and you want to play again on Sunday... you can enter this event and you'll be playing again 7 rounds. And then the top 4 from the sealed and then the top 4 from the standard together make a top 8 pod that does a draft.
So cool.
Yes. And then the winner of that draft gets a special invitation to an annual Wizards of the Coast tournament where you get flown out to Seattle and you go on a tour and you get to play against a bunch of people from WotC.
You get to have a date with Mark Rosewater.
If you beat all the people at WotC, you actually get to live in Mark Rosewater's spare bedroom.
Nice.
Yep, that's a true fact.
I've heard it has its own bathroom.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a very nice guest bedroom.
So those are the big events. If you want to play Super Serious Magic and you want to play against the best players, those are the two events other than the main event that you want to do. But what if, you know, you're casual? You're just a little spell dabbler.
I'm wearing jeans, but they're the kind that zip off into shorts.
Ooh.
That's how casual
That's
I'm bringing
saucy.
It.
Saucy.
That's casual.
Yeah.
If I see someone with zippers all over their jeans, I'm like, I'm going to cross the street.
Okay, modify. I'm wearing pajama jeans. I'm nice. Real casual.
Nice. Real casual.
I do, however, like pants formers.
What are
pants
those?
Formers.
Pants formers are pants that transform into shorts, which is exactly what you just described.
Why are you?
They're not jeans, though.
Oh. Has anybody ever used that term before
pants
this point?
Formers?
Yes. My old roommate and guest on the podcast, Jim.
Jim!
Yeah, he went on a bike trip and wore exclusively pants formers.
If only those pants could also change into a helicopter.
Pants formers, more than meets the fly.
Oh.
Ooh, my God.
If you're more casual, you can play on-demand events that fire when they get the required number of people, much like on Magic Online.
Yeah. And they do those for all kinds. There are standard win-a-box, which are single elimination, correct? There are booster drafts.
Yeah.
There are two-headed giant events.
Commander.
There is lots of commander. Yeah. There's modern win-a-box.
Yeah, so maybe like a constructed format. But not sealed, or maybe like drafting, but you hate sealed and you just want to draft.
Yeah.
You can just sign up and draft all you want. Some of the queues don't necessarily fire that often until people start dropping out of the main event. So if you just want to do those, you maybe don't show up Saturday morning.
Yeah, you probably show up later Saturday afternoon.
When more people are sad, but you're more glad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
100%.
And then there's also, you know, maybe you are a connoisseur of the goofy.
What? Do you mean, oh, I know what you're going to say. I was thinking you're talking about like the Goofy movie or something.
Yeah. There's a Goof Troop themed draft.
It's all dog cards.
It's all cards that are...
Wait, was Goofy a dog?
Yes.
And he had Pluto, who was a dog.
Well, let's not go down this road.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. I mean, moving on.
We can solve the Middle East crisis, but we're not cracking the whole Pluto versus Goofy debate.
Okay.
There's a couple. Events tend to differ, and depending on who the organizer is, but usually they'll have one or two events that are like, for example, this weekend they had a chaos draft event, mm-hmm. where people signed up without knowing even what the packs in the draft were going to be.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of random packs, mm-hmm. of different sets.
Yeah. So I think in this case there were like some Time Spiral stuff and mm-hmm. some like Ravnica stuff.
And those ones that went like this.
Future Sight. And Megan just made a sign in the air of what the weird cards in Future Sight look like.
She made
the sign of the Deathly Hallows.
Megan.
Oh, I'm Harry Potter.
So if you are bored with the normal, mm-hmm. you've built up your tolerance and you could no longer get off by playing Theros Limited.
Because that's why everyone goes to a GP, guys, if we're being honest.
Feel free to jump into a chaos draft. They also did like a full, it was like a two block sealed or something. So it was like, one pack from the last two blocks or something.
Yeah, it was like, was it three Theros and then one, like a Ravnica Gatecrash and an RTR? Or a Dragon's Maze?
I don't know.
What we're trying to say is there's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can probably play a format that you have never experienced before in your life.
Yeah, that is probably true. And you might never have the chance to experience again.
Yeah. Yeah, so if there's a big event in your area, go check it out. You'll probably meet lots of people also from your area. Mm-hmm. Or...
lots of people not from your area.
Yeah, and also if you live somewhere...
yeah. Which many people do.
And you want to take a vacation...
right.
...somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
the other places are always better than where you are.
Right. Yes. Grass is greener, literally, in our case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We came out here because it's warm.
It was so nice.
Shorts.
I wore a dress with not, you know, leggings and boots and mitts and a hat.
So if you do want to take a vacation, just, you know, consider squeezing that in there. Mm-hmm. Little magic plan.
It'll be great.
GP highlights.
Oh, man.
Man, we had a great time at GP Sacramento. I know I'm speaking from the group, but I'll speak for the group.
Speak from the group's heart,
speak
sister.
Speak from the group heart.
We had a super time. It was my first GP, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was so great. I mean, at the end of the first day, I thought my brain was dead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was...
There was a numbness in your frontal cerebral cortex.
Yes.
That is caused by a lack of serotonin.
Are you being serious right now?
It's possible what I'm saying is true.
What's the over-under?
I'd say there's like a 10% chance that it's related.
Okay, oh, sure. Nice. I said earlier like I hadn't had the tired stares for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I had the tired incoherence most of the weekend. Yeah.
I love that about you.
Yeah. I think the difference is that I was not physically tired, but I was just mentally exhausted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It is mentally exhausting.
Taxing. They call it decision fatigue.
Right.
Mm. You get decision fatigue.
I call it that.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, for it.
So, just to prove how decision fatigued we are, Maria, I'm going to ask you right now, do you ever want to have children?
Stop doing this to me!
Wow! That was an interesting reaction.
Ben has pushed me on the show before about this.
What?
Yes, in our Texas episode.
We had conversations about whether you ever want to have kids.
Yes.
No, Maria, I think what happened was that you were saying some things that made it seem like you really wanted to have a kid.
Because you remember we made a term about it, like...
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it was.
You talked about how it was your life's ambition to create something and watch it grow.
I wasn't talking about a human.
Well, that is the number one thing that comes to mind.
Okay. Anyway. So for the record, Maria would like to create a non-human and
right.
watch it grow.
And watch it grow. God. It was a good fatigue.
Yeah.
Mm. It was like after you haven't run for a while, you know what I mean?
But it was like you were, instead of running with your legs, you were running with your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of running with your poops, you were running with your mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, it was a workout, but it was a really fun workout.
Mm. Yeah, real what? It real was.
Megan still is fatigued.
I really still have the incoherence.
We might be in the slur zone a little bit.
The slur.
This is a natural drunk.
We're magic drunk right now.
We're super magic drunk.
Oh, God. Okay, so GP highlights. Let's see. Megan, what was your number one highlight?
Oh, man. Well, like I said, I had a really great time. I went in with the goal pretty much not to 0-3 drop. And so getting to 2-0 and to 3-1 and not dropping until 4-3 I felt real good about
you
that.
You should.
Yeah. It was my first limited GP. And the last one I played was modern, so that doesn't count.
Ben's like,
why does it? I didn't know how to play modern.
That's fair. Yeah. I could see because you didn't know any of the cards outside of
standard. Never played modern before in my life. So people were like, oh, this is a birthing pod deck. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
That sounds weird.
I'll watch while you do whatever you do. Anyways.
While you birth your pods.
I also had some fun with the games that we played. For a while, it was the night before when we were there, it was while we were around the convention center and hotel was, what's the over-under on the chance that person is a Magic player?
That was a fun game.
That was a good one. That proved to be too easy.
Very easy.
It was very easy. We decided that to make it fair, we would have to close our eyes probably.
Yeah.
And randomly guess. And then the other one, which was, is that your girlfriend? Is that your girlfriend who plays Magic? Is that your friend who's a girl who plays Magic? Or is that a girl who you're just walking too closely behind and you don't know her at all?
This game is surprisingly harder than it looks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it really is. That game had a little bit more variance in it.
And also my favorite game was Ghost or Genie.
Ooh, what?
Tell us please more, explain.
Well, you see someone and you just guess if they're a ghost or a genie.
What if...
It's a very hard game.
What if
because most
just...
people are neither ghosts nor
geese. I was
going
to say, okay, that's what I was going to say.
Good work. The only way to win is to find a genie.
Seems like a good victory.
Yeah. Mm. Do you get 3 wishes?
I never have. No.
Ben, what's your first wish? You can't wish for more wishes.
Fewer wishes.
You're the only person in the history of the world to say that.
What's your first wish? I would like one fewer wish than you gave me.
No. I'm if I start at 3, I want to get into negatives. I'm wishing for 10 fewer wishes.
Is this?
I want to see what a negative wish feels like.
Probably real bad.
It's gonna get bad. It's gonna get real bad real fast.
My favorite part of this GP, besides playing just a shit ton of Magic, was meeting some fans of the show.
Yeah, we met a couple people who were really big fans, and we got to hang out with them. And some of them were from California, so they kind of knew, like, don't go over there. It's full of movie stars.
Yeah, that was a warning I got a lot.
Yeah, pretty big warning.
Mm-hmm. No, it was real great because we met some real nice people.
Yeah, they're real cool.
They were real cool and real nice.
Yeah, so, let's give him a shout out. Huge shout out to Rick, who we met.
Yeah, hi Rick.
For taking us out to ramen.
Oh man,
that was pretty good.
That was a pretty sweet ramen place.
A super friendly guy. And Travis.
Hey yeah. Travis.
Yo.
Love you.
Who also had some super sweet. What's that name of his facial hair? Travis had like that, you know, like that thing. It's like this. What's it called?
You're doing a mutton chop.
Is it mutton chop? Is that what he had?
I don't know.
He has a hair that goes like this. I'm really sorry you can't see the motion that I'm making with my hands. Travis, email us, magicallyamateuring@gmail.com. Please tell us the name of what your facial hair is so that we can get it right on the show.
Megan, on behalf of Travis, I would just like to say my eyes are up here.
Stop looking at my facial hair. I'm up here.
Rick actually gave me a pretty cool gift, which was an altered Golgari long legs.
Oh yeah, I saw it. It looks super sweet. Still waiting for my altar.
Tick tick tick, Rick.
That sounded weird.
Yeah, it was bitter in my head. It's my first altar, so it was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was super sweet. Thanks, Travis.
And he also, Rick, day two, so congratulations.
Yeah. Our listeners are no dummies.
No.
No.
They make good decisions.
And they speak for themselves without a ventriloquist's help. They're not dummies.
I get it.
Thank you.
And we don't put them in cars to see how people might die in them.
Because they're not dummies. And we don't wrap them up and give them to kids at the dentist's office because they're not dum-dums.
Well, I was just saying, they're not mummies.
Yeah, I thought those mummies too. I thought the mummies was coming. Mummies. We were both on mummies.
You were on mummies over here.
There's a dentist's office. On mummies. Why are you giving mummies to kids at a dentist's office, guys?
Didn't you get a mummy every time you got a tooth pulled? Oh,
what?
I did.
Ben, what was your highlight?
I really enjoyed meeting the fans. Also, I just met a lot of people in general that all seem real cool. I feel like I met all kinds of great people, more so than at the other GPs I went to. So Sacramento,
yeah,
you're being real classy, way better than Oakland.
That's true. We met a whole bunch of really nice, great people. Yeah, great.
And it was a well-run tournament, I thought, as well.
Yes. Yeah. This is the second Channel Fireball event I went to. Oakland was also Channel Fireball, and they're both very well run.
Yeah, props to them. Lots of stuff starting in a really timely fashion, which is super hard to get done.
Yeah. There were over 1,700 people at the event.
Yeah.
So just corralling that many man's powers, man hours of time people. Yeah. It's a large effort.
Keep going.
And the DCI judges just do the judges so much are nice. Work. They do so much for you. So thank you. Shout out to all you guys if you listen.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Mm.
Nice work, guys.
I feel like judges don't have time to listen.
To podcasts
like this.
I don't know. If you're a judge, tweet at us at MTAcast and say, hey, I'm a judge and I listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll be like, oh.
Oh, you do.
Oh, thank you.
It's the only proof we'll have. Mm-hmm. I was, on a personal note, I thought that I grew a lot as a player by coming to this GP. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I was kind of in a bit of a holding pattern, and this kind of kicked me up a notch. So if you feel you're a player and you need an extra kick in the bottom in your play style, I think attending a GP will actually really give it to you, because you honestly just play so much magic.
Mm. You play so much magic.
It's like when you get lead poisoning and then your body develops an immunity to lead.
That doesn't happen.
I don't understand your analogy.
Also, that doesn't happen, guys. It doesn't happen.
So do you think do you feel like you got benefit from playing just a lot, or from playing against better people, or both?
Both. Definitely combo. Both. Because seeing how a better player plays always teaches you something. Mm-hmm. And having people actually, you know, watch me play and explain to me if I made a mistake or if I made a good play, that helped, you know. And just coming in and watching other matches, like I watched a lot of Ben's matches. I watched some matches in the feature area. Just playing against better people and understanding why they did that and why they built their deck a certain way will also help you level up, as they say. Real quick, we're going to talk about what decks we played this weekend, color-wise. Megan?
I played black-green. And my strongest rare for sure was Whip of Erebos.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you guys, that thing won me some games that I would not have otherwise won. For sure. Like 100%. That was a sweet card. And then it was just sort of backed with like, it had Sedge Scorpion and double Baleful Eidolons to keep me alive in the early game. And then like some Keepsake Gorgons and some Nemesis of Mortals and Vulpine Goliath and just some big fatties to sort of back it up on the in the end. Yeah. Like I said, the biggest problem with my pool was that it had no removal.
Right.
I played the only removal spell I had, which was a Time to Feed, which just doesn't always work, you guys. Sometimes their creature is just bigger. Or it's a Polis Crusher, and all you have are enchantment creatures.
Oh. Sometimes it's just not time to feed. You're just not hungry.
Sometimes it is time you know what I mean? Sometimes it is time to be eaten.
Sometimes it's time to fast.
Sometimes it's time to bleed.
Okay. What?
I mean, like, that's the creature that died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get it.
I played red-green. We're not going to talk about it because it was just a hideous deck. And the reason, like, Megan and Ben were already feeling fatigue, like play fatigue around round four, and I wasn't, for the simple fact of that my deck was so bad that I just couldn't. I mean, it didn't matter. I was getting run over. But in the reboot GP, I played blue-black and had much better luck with some Disciple of Phoenix. Oh, a pair of those guys, who is really great and sealed, everybody. Yeah. Just FYI. Gray Merchant, that kind of deal. Sip of Hemlock.
Yeah.
Kill, kill, kill. That was a great deck. Also played a really fun green-blue deck today in the Super Sunday series. And did pretty fine with it until I had to drop 5-3. And it was featuring Polokranos the World Eater. Turn 4. Deal with that, motherfucker. And... Nice. As well as Prophet of Krufix, Ben.
Well, my deck for the main event was a black-white deck. It had actually some heroic guys. It had a bunch of like one-drop humans and stuff. And so sometimes I would just win by playing one-drop humans and like a Cavalry Pegasus or some, you know, enchantments, whatever, on those dudes and get them going. And then also I had a Celestial Archon and a Whip of Erebos and the Scholar that drains one life.
Super great and sealed.
Let me tell you,
finish him off. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there's a Thoughtseize in there too. So I,
oh, value.
Yeah, sometimes you can really, really get them with Thoughtseize. I did have a Thoughtseize where I had one Thoughtseize.
Oh, yeah.
Where he had a Chosen of Heliod and a Shipbreaker Kraken, and I took the Heliod's Emissary and a Shipbreaker Kraken. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna take the Heliod's Emissary because that I would have to kill twice otherwise.
That's the craziest Thoughtseize. If anyone's like, which of those two do you Thoughtseize?
Yeah.
I also had a Thoughtseize.
What is the deal here?
I know. I don't know, man. And I played a game where the guy had, it was like turn 3 or 4, and he has 4 swamps in play, and I Thoughtseize him, and he shows me a hand that has no forests, and it has like an Erebos' Emissary, a Boon Satyr, an Arbor Colossus, and an Ordeal of Nylea.
Yeah.
I was like, well, take the Erebos' Emissary.
Wait, if he had 4 swamps, why was that Emissary still in his hand?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. He might have just played something. I don't remember. Oh. He did have something on the board at that time.
Gotcha.
It wasn't
Ghost Town.
Exactly. Oh, do you know what? He had just played Fleet Feather Sandals. So I think his plan was to equip the Emissary, to play the Emissary and give it haste and flying next turn.
Oh, you, what a tricker.
I know. But then I took the only card he could play and I felt real bad.
I thought seized a hand. It was the same opponent. Shout out to you if you're listening. You were awesome. but he had a bunch of tricks and then... and then, like, one creature. And I'm like, well, I'll just take the creature because I know about these tricks. Yeah. And I'm going to fly over them with my flyers.
Nice.
Cool.
I do also just want to say that for the Super Sunday series, I played a sealed pool and I opened it. It had another Celestial Archon and another Whip of Erebos. and a foil whip of Erebos.
Oh my god.
So, yeah. But I played a lot. I did a lot of whipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did it feel?
It felt good. Feels good to connect with a whip.
Born of the Gods spoilers. Mm. You guys, we've been waiting so long to talk about this on the show.
Yay!
So excited, so excited. Okay, I love spoilers. Megan loves spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
What?
We're going to play a little game.
What?
You guys guess. I'm going to read the card. You guys guess how much it costs.
Ooh, oh, that's cool. Okay. Okay.
Heroes Podium. It is a legendary artifact, and it says it's a rare. Each legendary creature you control gets +1/+1 for each other legendary creature you control. You can pay an activated ability, X tap, look at the top X cards of your library. You may reveal a legendary creature card from among them and put it in your hand. Put the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order.
How much does it cost?
How much do you think that bullshit costs?
What a piece of shit card. Okay.
It costs 3.
I'm going to go with 6.
Megan is closest without going over. The correct cost is 5.
Oh. We're playing this Price is Right style. All right. All right. Hit me.
Wait,
what's the color?
It's an artifact.
It is a colorless artifact.
Okay, I didn't know. It sounded like it could maybe be like a white artifact or something.
Good call. Okay. But it is not an enchantment artifact, just a legendary artifact.
Okay.
This one belongs to the humans. This is a human artifact. It finds humans.
Get your own shit, Nyx.
We also have Glimpse the Sun God. It is an instant.
Don't look in the sun.
Don't glimpse the sun
Don't
god.
Do
Don't
it.
Do it. You're going to go blind.
It is an instant. It says tap X target creatures.
Okay, so this reminds me of Blinding Beam.
It has an X in its mana cost.
Okay.
Perhaps it does. It's a scry one. And it says, the flavor text is, better to be beneath Heliod's notice than beneath his heel.
Okay, so it's, okay. X, oh
it's
God.
It's tap X target creatures.
Scry one.
Okay.
It is.
It'd be scry X, am I right? Or tap one target creature, scry X.
I don't want to scry X.
Scry. Oh my god. You guys, I want a card that says scry X. That would be hilarious.
That'd be really weird.
How much?
That'd be super weird.
How much does it cost?
White X.
Oh, you're probably right. I feel like that's right. Do I have to do a different guess?
Yes.
3. No, god. That's too much. 3X. 3X.
It is white X.
Ooh, I was going to say you should guess white X because I think I might have been over with
that's it. What is the rarity
scry,
on that?
The scry one made me think that it might be white. That's why I went white.
Nope, it's white X.
Is this a common, Ben?
It is an uncommon.
Okay, good. I was going to worry.
If I told you that, you would have got it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a spicy one, although certainly not the spiciest one.
Spicy Gorgon.
It's called Nessian Demlock. It's creature beast. It is an uncommon. It has tribute 3. So if you don't
creature, if I ever heard one,
if you don't know what tribute is, tribute is an ability that says as this creature enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice may put 3+1/+1 counters on it. Okay, so that's kind of weird, right? Because why would you do that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it also says when Nessian Demlock enters the battlefield, if its tribute wasn't paid, destroy target non-creature permanent.
Ooh. So, I could blow up a land or some shit.
So yeah. So think about the way to think about it is when you play this card, your opponent has to make Sophie's choice. Do they want you to have a 6/6? Or a 3/3, and then you get to destroy a target non-creature permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that's got to be good if you've got something bestowed somewhere.
Ooh, man.
How much do you think this bullshit costs?
4 colorless and a green.
I'm going to go with, I'd say either 3/3 or 6/6 and blow something. 6 colorless and a green.
3 colorless and a green.
You said four in a green.
I know. I was re-guessing for Maria.
You think my guess too high?
I don't know.
Megan gets this one. It's actually three green green.
Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. That sounds right.
All
right.
Two more. Here's one. Spirit of the Labyrinth. Enchantment creature, spirit. It's a 3/1. It does not have bestow. That's the first enchantment creature we've seen that does not have bestow.
So it must be pretty good.
There's another one in the spoilers.
Okay. It says each player can't draw more than one card each turn.
Oh. Nice.
Students at the Decathia Academy learn that being sent to study with her is a lesson in itself. And she's like a ghosty lady. She's sitting on like a maze throne.
So it's a 3/1.
Yeah.
What's the name again?
It is a rare. Spirit of the Labyrinth.
So it's trying to shut down Sphinx's revelation and the like, I would imagine.
That's a hard hate.
Yeah.
Hard hate.
Is she black?
No, she is either... She's red or white.
Ben, what color is the card?
The card color is white.
Oh, okay.
White likes to keep shit fair. Drawing ice cards is not fair.
That's true.
Okay, that's cool. True, all right. Yeah. Flavor appropriate.
Okay. She's a 3/1.
Yeah.
And the text is that you can't draw, no one can draw more than one card a turn. Yeah. For a 3/1. I'm going to go with a... this is tough. Two colorless and a white.
Ooh, Maria?
That is three colorless and a white.
It is one and a white.
What?
Oh, snap!
Yeah, this card... I mean, this is... This is going to be probably one of the better standard cards from the set. But they've clearly pushed it. But, I mean, a 3/1 for two is reasonable.
That's reasonable.
For a rare card.
The extra ability is what made me bump it up one.
Yeah. But it also is very fragile. Enchantment creature, one toughness.
Yes, it is very fragile. This is like, there was the like Boros 2-drop that was a 3/1, right? And then sometimes it could fly. So it's kind of like similar.
It's the Daring Skyjack.
Yeah. So from a like vanilla test standpoint,
true,
it is similar to that creature. And then the can't draw cards thing is sometimes relevant, sometimes very relevant. But those decks are going to have a way to deal with this for sure.
All right, Ben, hit us up with your...
I'm sure in the next set there'll be a card that says draw three cards and do one damage every creature.
There'll be a card that says, is there a white card that you just are mad at? Destroy it.
Okay. This card has bestow. I am not going to tell you what the bestow cost is. I'm going to have you guess that also. The name of the card is Chromanticore. It is an enchantment creature, Manticore. It is a 4/4. It has flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, lifelink.
What?
Enchanted creature gets +4/+4. And has flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, and lifelink. How much does that bullshit cost?
Is this colorless?
No.
Oh, well, I feel like... What color could it be? Green!
It's blue.
Blue.
What do you think the casting cost is?
You gotta tell us the color, though.
No, I don't.
4/4, flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, lifelink. What's its rarity?
Super rare. Very rare.
Okay, the rarest of rare.
This thing is super rare.
This thing is bloody.
It is very super rare.
I love this card, by the way. Right now, I'm in love with this card. Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go... Four blue. very aggressively costed.
That is aggressively costed. Oh my god.
It's mythic. It's the rare.
What if it's two colors? Mm-hmm. What two colors would it be?
Mm-hmm. Blue-green. It's blue-green.
Okay. All right. I'll say five blue-green. That's really too expensive probably, but...
You are both incredibly wrong.
Okay.
Just one more time. I'm going to tell you the name of the card.
I know. It's every color. So what am I... Chroma. Yeah.
Oh, snap. So it's just straight up red, white, blue, green.
No way!
Black.
Is it?
Actually, it's white, blue, black, red, green.
Oh, man.
And how much do you think to bestow that shit?
The same thing plus two.
That is correct.
Yay!
Holy shit. When you said Chromanticore, I was like, oh, that sounds like it should be colorless.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Or every color.
Every color.
So you were both right about the color.
Can I see the art for it, please?
Yeah. Can we look at that sucker?
Okay. Get ready to express your reaction vocally.
Oh, I am ready.
Okay. We're so ready.
Boop, boop, boop. Look at it. It's so cute. Cutest card. You're definitely in the running for cutest card.
Are there any other cards in the running in the spoilers currently
for cutest card? Nothing has elicited this response from me yet.
Okay.
Mm. For me being like, oh my gosh, you're so cute.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Yeah, who's ever going to cast that shit? Give me a break.
No, it's not going to happen.
Someone's going to cast it.
Springleaf Drum. Boom.
Okay.
You can tap all your creatures for any color.
No. Because you have to tap Springleaf Drum when you do it.
Oh, just kidding. I mean, I have five Springleaf Drums.
I mean, someone will do it. Maybe there'll be a card that'll help you out. That'll give you, like, multiple colors, but... Uh-huh. Man, that's gonna be a tough breakfast to fry up on an egg sidewalk.
You do have to say, like, there is some very reasonable fixing in Theros. I don't know. We've seen Springleaf Drum in, and obviously the next set of temples in Born of the Gods. But we have, you know, your traveler's amulets,
your unicorn
hearts, your unicorns, your Nylea's presents.
I would have run this in my pool for sure.
If you had it. Yeah, man.
So, you guys, do you have any favorite spoilers? I want us each to go around and say our favorite spoiler from Born of the Gods so far. There have been about 60-some cards spoiled at this point when we're recording this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering. Megan, I think you had one.
Did I?
Yeah, you were talking about it the other day.
Oh, in Faded Infatuation. That's right.
So what is that?
This is the blue instant. It's a rare, and it says, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of target creature you control.
I'm going to use Psychic Intrusion to make this my favorite.
Damn it, Ben. No, you can't.
Ben, get your own.
And if it's your turn, scry two.
No big deal.
If it's your turn, add some insult to injury.
That's super blue. I wonder if there's any deck in Standard that could use that.
Oh, man. gosh, I just don't know.
I think I might want a couple of, you know... Thassas.
You can't have multiple Thassas, Maria.
I know the legendary fucking rule.
Oh, look, I went from running four Master of Waves to running eight.
No problem.
I don't think I would actually want eight.
Has any one of these spoilers tickled your tickle bone, Ben?
Well, that one.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the one drop 2/1 with Bestow.
Oh, yeah. Why do you like that guy?
No, he's a 1/2, isn't he?
Yeah. He is a 1-drop 1/2 with Bestow. He's called Nyxborn Shieldmate, and he's an enchantment man.
Creature type enchantment man.
Enchantment man, creature soldier. And he has a Bestow cost of 3.
Cheap.
That's so low. How much lower could you be? Could you be an 0/1 and have a Bestow of 1?
What a useless... probably, actually, not too useless. People have said, you know, what would be the value of a card that just says target creature?
Yeah, I mean...
a spell that... Yeah, it's a, just says target creature. For one colorless mana, it says target creature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about how good this is in a deck with, like, favored hoplite and, like, 3 ordeals.
Oh, yeah. So good.
You can put ordeal on this thing... Mm-hmm. Or you can put ordeal on it on whatever your 1-drop was on turn 3, and then this, or on turn 2, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Just gonna go to town, man.
Turn 1-1, turn 2 ordeal, turn three Bestow.
Oh
boy. In this universe. I also like Ashiok's Adept. This is a 3-mana black human wizard man. He is an uncommon and he's heroic. And whenever you cast a spell that targets Ashiok's Adept, each opponent discards a card. Let me school you, students.
Uh-huh.
This card has the chance to do some instant speed discard. Which I guarantee you guys have never done. Have you?
No, I don't think so.
And you know when the best time is to do instant speed discard?
Anytime.
During your opponent's draw step. That's
so
right.
So wait, they can...
Yeah. You can cast spells during the draw step before the main phase.
So they draw it and you're like, goodbye!
Yeah, you can lock your opponent out of the game.
That's insane!
You're saying that they've like emptied their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have an opponent who's trying to top deck something.
Yeah, if they've emptied their hand.
Oh, snap.
And they need to top deck something to win. It's kind of similar to how if you grip tight, like, if you grip tight something,
yeah.
Then they, like, have no way to draw out of whatever your kill is.
Yeah.
Same is true with the instant speed discard, so look into it. I recommend it. You don't see it on a lot of cards.
You might have to reset your stops.
You don't see it on a lot of cards because it's super powerful. But you do need, you got to target it. You have to spend an instant. And then probably that thing you're doing doesn't do much else because you just spent it during their draw step.
That's true.
So
that's still going to be really funny, though. Like, draw. Yeah. Goodbye. Throw it away. Goodbye.
Also, one other card I want to point out is Architect of Imagination. It's a 6-drop blue. It is a 3/2, and it says, it's an enchantment creature. It says creatures you control have flying, and creatures your opponent controls lose flying, and can't have or gain flying.
I love it. It's so evil.
I think the only word that is missing from this card is forever.
Forever.
And ever. Yeah.
Cool. Nice cards, guys. Oh. Let's all have a fun time playing cards in the future with
these
cards. Can
I talk about my favorite card, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to be sad about it?
No, go on.
Okay. It is a black enchantment creature.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have listeners?
Are you sure it's not that cat?
That cat?
No, it's not the cat. No. I mean, the cat's cool. But it is a flyer. Mm-hmm. It has bestow. We're scrolling. Probably go back up to the top.
Yeah, I think it's more recent than this stuff.
But it's, you know, I thought black didn't have so many bestow dudes. I mean, it
Although
has a few.
We had this conversation.
Ah, there it is. Okay, so this is called Torment's Herald. Mm. It is one black enchantment creature, demon.
Demon. Okay, 3-drop.
And it is...
That's pretty cheap for a demon.
Yeah, for sure. Demons, normally, you got to give them your soul, your firstborn or something.
Yeah.
It has flying. It's a 3/3. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose one life.
I don't like that.
Oh, who cares? You got a 3/3 flyer.
Mm.
And you can bestow it for 3 black, and the creature gets +3/+3 in flying. I think it's pretty cool.
And you're going to lose the one life either way, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty cool card. I'd play that card. Pretty cool card.
It's a rare. You know, it's got to be pretty good.
It's a rare, so I'll have to get some luck to get it.
These cards make me very excited for Born of the Gods. They're kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. There's some cool stuff.
Yeah, and more spoilers are going to be coming out into the pre-release.
And we'll shove them in your ears.
Will. That's going to be...
about all of them.
No. I'm saying like February 1st is the pre-release. So get online, look at the spoilers. School yourselves.
Yeah.
We'll let you know of some of the cooler ones that come along. And if you've got a favorite, tweet it at us at MTAcast. We'd love to hear about it.
As you all may have heard, Wizards of the Coast and Fox, I think it's Fox Searchlight, are going to do a... I'm pretty sure about that, guys.
I think you're right about that.
Are
Fox
going
Searchlight
to do...
Searchlight is a punchline on its own.
Uh,
Uh-huh. Anyways, are going to be making a movie, a Magic the Gathering movie.
A franchise, they hope.
A franchise, that's right. There's been lots of speculation, both real and totally ridiculous.
Fake.
About what this movie might be about.
Because I'm fairly, okay, I've said publicly, and I'll say it again, mm-hmm. that I think that this is going to be a disaster. But Ben seems to think that it's going to be okay.
I think it could be acceptable.
Okay.
Wouldn't you go see a movie about, like, where Jace ignites his planeswalker spark?
What's he doing before his spark is ignited?
He's a file clerk.
That's what I thought.
Okay, if he's a clerk,
He was before he was a planeswalker. I mean, he was a magician. He was a mage.
Really?
Yeah. So you know, like.
Okay, that actually sounds cool.
Maybe he was like a guild mage or something, but he was just living his life. Maybe he hung out with some friends, and then all of a sudden he realized, oh, there's a whole world out there.
It's like Harry Potter.
There's a whole world of worlds.
All right, I take back my comment.
It's like Harry Potter, but he starts out as Harry Potter.
That could be really cool. And just like, I think the planeswalkers in normal life and then having their spark ignited would be neat to see.
Your spark doesn't just ignite because of whatever. You have to go through some, you have to undergo some stress.
Surgery?
No, like, you know, it's like, it's just like, you know, how Magneto didn't get his powers until he had some real bad stuff happen to him.
That's true.
By real bad stuff, do you mean the Holocaust?
Yeah, it was a stressful time.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify. I'm personally disappointed that he wasn't just a file clerk, because that for me
Jace would the be file clerk.
Super, super interesting. I want to see Jace the file clerk.
A lot of people have been using the hashtag MTG movie to put out their speculations and hopes and dreams and funnies about what they think the movie would be like. But we here at Team MTA Cast have come up with a few of our own. Mm-hmm. So Fox, take notes. Wizards, take notes. Okay, let's go. What do you got, Megan?
So in our first pitch, Krypton's last son truly is indestructible. Starring some attractive man in The Man of Dark Steel.
I love it.
Ben, what do you got for us?
I have a retelling of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, but it's set in a gruel neighborhood, and it stars Boyle, Red Elemental Blast, and Mistcutter Hydra in 10 Cards That Hate on Blue.
That's my favorite.
Maria, do you got anything for us?
Sure. Charlton Heston must spend 40 days and 40 nights in an epic game of EDH in The Ten Commanders.
And finally, Anna Kendrick discards 2 Loxodon Smiters to Mind Rot in Pitch Perfect.
Oh, great. Wow. Great. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this.
These movies are all super good ideas.
And I'm sure one of them will be the real plot of the Magic the Gathering movie.
Come on, Anna Kendrick.
Can you imagine? Sorry, it would just be so weird if she was in it.
Who do you want to see?
Who's going to be Jace? That's the real question.
My favorite name put forward is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, totally. Definitely Keanu Reeves.
Dude,
whoa. Nicolas Cage, his name has been bandied about.
Nicolas Cage, you're kidding.
Oh yeah, of course I'm kidding. Okay, good. Nobody's ever serious when they talk about Nicolas Cage. Sorry, that's Nicolas true. Cage, but they're not.
No, sorry.
George Clooney as Jace.
George Clooney.
I want to see like...
Jace's dad.
Like J-Glo.
Who is that?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh my God.
Oh,
actually,
I would watch that. Yeah. I would watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt be a file clerk and then turn into a planeswalker.
And then just throw shit down.
File clerk.
Yeah, JGL. That might work out.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you don't really see his face that much anyway, so maybe they don't even like need a person, you know?
What about Cillian Murphy?
Who's
Cillian
that?
Murphy? He's an Irish actor. He played, he is in the worst movie of all time called Sunshine. It is really...
Oh, he was in Batman as the Scarecrow.
Yes, he was the Scarecrow in Batman.
I loved him in that.
He's a great actor.
What about Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
I think he's too British.
Is Jason American?
British.
What's going on?
Well, Jace is not from this plane, so no, not American.
So he's a file clerk on another plane where they had files and clerks. Okay,
do you know what, coincidence. Guys, I'm just saying. Do you know what that like that picture of him that came up?
Yeah,
convinced me. It's
he would be really good, but he's pretty good bad guy. So he might be better as like Ashiok. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't know, because I think Jace has a little creep factor to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
When he's a mind sculptor?
You think anything in your mind is safe from Jace?
Mind sculptor.
Him and his girlfriend have to break up because he's going to be like, I know what you did.
They have to break up because she is bound to a plane.
And he is not.
Yeah.
It's going to get complicated, I'm sure.
Look, babe, it's you. You're too bound to this plane for me.
And for the record, Jace is from Silmot's Crossing.
I've heard that there are a lot of file clerks in Silmot's Crossing.
It's a big filing town.
Oh, look, there's one sentence about it.
There's currently no text on this page.
Okay, that's it. What it says. We don't know zero anything sentences. Else.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, Cillian Murphy.
All right, it's been decided. Okay, cool.
I think he'd be great. Yeah.
Do you know that Jace worked for Nicol Bolas for a while?
How dare you,
Jace? What were you thinking?
Nicol Bolas is Russian.
I bet it would all be explained in that movie.
You guys,
all right, Ben? I'm gonna watch it.
Benedict Cumberbatch can be the voice of Nicol Bolas.
Was he the voice of Smaug?
He was.
Okay, perfect.
Seriously though, the Magic the Gathering movie would probably be a story about like Nicol Bolas or Jace or something like that, or maybe a Phyrexian invasion.
Mm. Or some
They're
people
kind
have
of the big bad guys in Magic.
Some people have talked about whatever the story is behind Urza's saga.
Oh.
And there's like some brothers thing going on.
Yeah, the brothers war.
Yeah, a bunch of people the online Civil were war. Like, I wish this was going to be it'll probably be about Jace, but I wish it was going to be about the brothers war.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We won't know for another 5 years, you guys, so.
That was like back when Planeswalkers were they're different.
Okay.
That was back before Time Spiral fucked up the timeline. It's a little bit like, you know, it's Star Trek.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before they introduced Planeswalkers, they're like, okay. They'd set Planeswalkers up to be extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Like almost omnipotent. And like the Urza, Urza and Mishra could do like whatever the fuck they wanted.
Ooh.
So like, okay, if we're going to make these like actual characters and cards in the game, we need to like tone it down a notch.
We got to be able to relate to them.
Why did Ben just get Southern?
Southern Ben.
I just had too much sweet tea. Just took one too many sips on this sweet tea and it just happened.
Those Planeswalkers really need to tone it down a little.
Well,
do you guys mind if I tune my banjo on your podcast?
Not at all.
Go for it.
Please do.
We do love a little bit of tickling on the banjo.
Well, everybody, that's all the time we have for Magic the Amateur in this week.
We're real glad that you joined us.
Do drop by again.
Or for the first time if you're not listening to this
yet. Please follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. We posted a bunch of pictures from GP Sacramento and we'll put up some more, so check those out.
You can also check out some of our movie pitches not featured here.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of them up there.
And if you met one of us at the Grand Prix, send us a tweet. Or in emails and be like, hey, I met you. And we'll be like, I remember meeting you.
Yes.
gonna be scintillating conversation.
MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Visit our website, MagicTheAmateuring.com.
We've got all of our old episodes up there. We're also on iTunes, so you can subscribe and find all of our episodes over the years.
You can also find us on Magic social media site, TheMeadery.org.
You can friend us. And you can't poke us, but that's probably for the best.
That's probably for the best.
We'll take the poking as implied.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, dudes. See you guys next week.
See you guys next week.
See you guys next week unless you stop listening to the podcast.
See you next week.